Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere, and today we're going to be talking Super Bowl. We've got player props, we've got the game spread, over-under. We're going to be doing some of those weird props as well with celebrities and everything. Tags, you're probably going to want to sit that one out.
Yeah, probably. I'm not much for the non-football props, but I'll try and partake in a little bit. I'll pull up some of those prop bets, but I feel like I have some good player props for this one that I feel like pretty dang confident about.
So we've got a really good guest for the first 30 minutes of the show. After that, we're going to be talking some news and everything along those lines. Now, our guest today is Ian Harditz of Roto World. He's on Twitter at iHarditz. That's H-A-R-T-I-T-Z. Ian, thanks for coming to the show. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me, dudes. Was saying before, I'm happy we can, you know, focus on the Super Bowl for a couple more days. We got the XFL coming next week, which is going to be awesome. But, you know, I'm down to talk props for a little bit first.
Hey, by the way, I forgot to say this. We've got the listener mailbag today, Tex. We've got some great questions in there, don't we?
We do. There's some really good ones that came through, so I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, these two nut jobs were talking about the XFL before we started recording, and I'm like, I didn't even know like actual team names. They started talking about who their favorite team is in XFL. Just know that I'm not going to be talking about XFL anytime soon. So if you have any questions, direct them to Ian and Bobby on Twitter.
Ian, who's the big XFL sleeper, man?
People sleep on the DC Defenders, man. They got speed all over the place. Out wide receiver, Rashad Ross, and some other NFL preseason rejects. Cardale Jones can throw that damn ball over the mountains.
Yeah, baby.
I cannot wait. I think Mark Trestman, the Tampa Bay Vipers, are getting a little too much love from the odds makers. And I don't know, man. I'm not sold on Aaron Murray, but if you want to check out my all-encompassing XFL Ultimate preview, that will be posted on Roto World early next week.
Oh, that's awesome, man. You know, I actually don't care about XFL whatsoever. I just know St. Louis has a team, so I was acting like I knew something. He's over here, like, spouting off all these names and stuff. He's got you all covered. So here's what we're going to be doing today, okay, guys? Before we get into the meat of the show, I want to tell you about a contest we've got going on, and this bad boy ends on Friday night, so you're going to want to get your entry in really quick if you haven't already. We're giving away a full-sized Michael Thomas Saints helmet, and you can check out the details for that at bettingpros.com/contest. Basically, all you need to do is listen to the new Betting Pros podcast hosted by Dan Harris. You guys are going to love it. He's hilarious, great analysis as well. And listen to that. Leave a review for us on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, and then take a screenshot of that and send it to us at contest@bettingpros.com. And by the way, we're able to do this contest thanks to pristineauction.com. So when you go to Pristine Auction, make sure to sign up. Hit that registration code, FANTASYPROS, all one word. It's free to sign up, and that code's going to get you $5 off. Pristine Auction has all kinds of items that they auction off every single day, sometimes even thousands in a single day. So you're guaranteed to be able to find some great values that you love for your cave. And everything is guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. Check out Pristine Auction at PristineAuction.com. All right, guys, we're going to start with the over-under here on this game. Right now it's sitting at 54.5. Ian, who are you taking here?
Yeah, man, it's still hard for me not to get on this over. I was lucky enough to grab it myself a little earlier in the week because I opened at 51, but I just don't really see how this one. The big thing is, how are the Chiefs really going to stop the 49ers? Because the one weakness with the Chiefs defense all year has been the run defense. And, you know, I do understand there's, you want to have a better pass defense and run defense in modern NFL for sure. But like we saw last 2 weeks ago with the Packers, like when you have a weakness in the run D, Shanahan, the 49ers do not stop exploiting that. So it's a question there that I'm just not really sure what they're going to do against the run game. And then without having Juan Thornhill, I think that's really going to rear its ugly head this week when they're trying to contain Kittle. And then the other side of the ball, I mean, look, the 49ers defense, their ability to get pressure with only four guys is, you know, second to none throughout the league. That pass rush is incredible. But if they can't get
second to the Chiefs have a better pass rush, man.
I'm not going there. Yeah, maybe on some stats, but they're both awesome.
The props in this game have the Chiefs projected for more stats. Vegas does. More sacks than the 49ers.
So Garoppolo takes more sacks than Mahomes. I think sacks is generally more of a QB stat than a defense stat. I like that prop, though, for the 49ers because I think we're going to see more dropbacks from Mahomes than Jimmy G. But, nah, I mean, I wouldn't go that far. But anyway, just I think if they can't get to Mahomes very quickly, it's going to be problematic because Dan Orlovsky made a really good point on this. Like, the 49ers run more zone coverage than anyone. Chiefs run more RPOs than anyone. We saw Kyler Murray and the Cardinals actually kind of have some success against the 49ers this year when a lot of guys couldn't. And again, their whole defense is just based on getting that pressure. The cornerbacks sit on shorter routes. If they cannot get pressure, Richard Sherman, these guys are going to have to hang up in man coverage against some very fast receivers. I don't think they're going to be able to get done. So I like the over more 51, but I'm still taking it now.
All right, Tags, what are you going with, man?
I am going to go under in this one. I feel like it's going to be a closely fought game. I don't think any team's going to risk things. I think Kyle Shanahan kind of probably learned his lesson where if they jump out to a lead, he's not going to be snapping the ball with 20 seconds left to give Patrick Mahomes the ball back with time on the clock. That's like a lesson learned, but I do anticipate the Chiefs being up in this game. We're going to get into the prop bets here shortly. I have this game finishing 27-23 Chiefs. So if I'm going to say it's 50, then I'm going to go with under. I think it's a popular thing to go the over, but I will say under.
I'm going under as well. I've got the Chiefs winning this game by. The 49ers fans listening to this, by the way, are going to be so happy that I'm saying this because I went against them last round and I believe the round before that. And they're like, oh, good, bet against the 49ers. That way we can win again. Guys, I just think the Chiefs are the better team. I think they have the better defense. I think they have a superior offense.
Well, I want to say that the reason I'm picking the Chiefs in this game is not necessarily because I don't believe the 49ers are a good team. I just believe that the NFL is trending more towards the offensive stats, and I think that's why we're seeing some of these bonkers numbers, and it benefits the offenses that play. So when you have Patrick Mahomes, who's playing with the swagger that he's gotten back, because there was a lull in his production after he came back from that injury, and he just wasn't playing the same. Now we're seeing him run the ball. We're seeing him get some of that confidence back in his game. And when he's playing like that, I don't know if there's a defense in the NFL that could stop him.
Well, the Indianapolis Colts did. The Indianapolis Colts were great against him, man. They only put up 13 points. But besides that, you look at what he's done all year. 40, 28, 33, 34. He got hurt in the Texans game. He was out for Denver, Green Bay, Minnesota. Then he came back. 32, 24, 40. I mean, they're scoring 24 plus points. There's no doubt about that. I don't care who they're playing.
Yeah, I would also know with that Colts game, I mean, Tyreek Hill wasn't there. And, you know, I wouldn't call Tyreek the best wide receiver in the league or anything, but maybe the most impactful just because of how defenses need to really measure with his speed. And, you know,
Byron Pringle was the leading receiver in that game, right?
exactly. And look, I disagree with you. Like, I think the 49ers defense is for sure better than Chiefs. With that said, though, this Chiefs defense is much better compared to years past. They were able to get Chris Jones back in the AFC Championship game as well, which was huge. Frank Clark really didn't play up to his contract during the regular season. He's really come on the playoffs with four sacks over these last 2 weeks. They're at least good enough to kind of, hopefully, contain the 49ers. And then, yeah, I kind of agree with Tags here. When Mahomes is clicking like this, like, who can stop them?
I'll say this for the Kansas City Chiefs. Since their bye week, they've given up a full touchdown less than the 49ers in as far as points per game goes. It's a pretty big difference.
Yeah, 49ers haven't gotten healthier. When it matters. They got healthier in the playoffs. They got Quan Alexander back, Jaquiski Tartt. And D-Ford, excuse me. But they're awesome, man. There's no doubt about that. The only weakness I found in the 49ers, like, going into the playoffs was they ranked the 22nd in missed tackle rate. But I think getting those healthy guys back helped. But with that said, man, like, the Chiefs are one of the last teams you want to miss a tackle against because, you know, Hardman, Hill, whoever it might be, they can make that mistake into 6 points really quickly.
So I'm going 30 for the Kansas City Chiefs, 19 for the San Francisco 49ers. What are you going with, Ian?
I am going Chiefs 31, 49ers 27.
Nice.
Okay. So, yep, you've got the over there. So we hit the spread. We hit the over-under. Let's go to these player props. Okay, these are not the crazy ones yet. These are stats for certain players, and we're each going to give two of them. Ian, why don't you give us one first, and then Tag, you'll get one, I'll get one, and then we'll go back around for another round.
All right, kind of a crazy player prop. I'm mixing them a little bit, but Matt Breida, first rush attempt, I got over 3.5 yards. And it's plus 130 at the book I'm seeing, which I just don't get. I mean, the guy averaged 5.1 yards per carry this season. Over the last three seasons, it's literally Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, and Matt Breida is the most efficient rushers. Like, the guy has been really good on a per carry basis his whole career. I understand Raheem Mostert's backfield. We just need one rush attempt. And with Tevin Coleman coming back from a dislocated shoulder, pretty safe to me that we're going to see Breida get at least a handful of carries. And Jeff Wilson has been active since week 15. We've talked about the Chiefs' rush defense kind of being the weak spot of the league. I just don't see any reason why this line is a full 1.5 yards below his career average and you're getting plus odds. So, you know, it's going to be exciting. In the second quarter, mm-hmm. we see Matt Breida trot out for that 3rd and 16. He's going to get 9 yards in that draw, and you all can thank me then.
Nice. I like that a lot, man. But here's the thing. Like, how many times has Matt Breida gone for 15, 20 plus yards because he's so dang fast? I mean, that really adds up to that total. I would say more often than not, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but just watching the game, more often than not, he gets stopped for fewer than 3 yards. It's just those big plays really add to those yards per carry. So
he is 31st in success rate. So I hear you there. I still sure. think getting plus odds at that number is just the deciding factor for me.
Yeah, that makes plenty
of
sense.
You are bold, my friend. I cannot, I wouldn't be able to bet on something like that just because, like, it's just like such a, it's almost like touchdowns to me. There's such a happenstance thing where it's, I prefer the whole game sample, so I'd rather do a touchdown.
Yeah, but it's not
prop.
Like something that's going to be super safe. It's, you know, over time,
it's circumstantial.
If this was to be simulated 100 times, how many times would it happen? Well, am I going to make money on that? That's
but
the
that's
expected
the thing. Well,
value.
It's circumstantial, though, too. Like, let's say that the handoff goes to Matt Breida and, like, he fumbles the handoff and it falls on the ground. He picks it up and he takes a loss for two, and you're like, oh, no. Like, those are just things
sure,
that can happen.
Once out of 100 times
where it's like over, if you take a receiver, like the prop on a receiving bet, like my favorite one this game is probably Emmanuel Sanders over 2.5 receptions. Like that one,
what, 2.5?
That's what it's at, and I can't believe it. It's really low, and it's because, like, you know, during the playoffs he's almost been non-existent, and people are forgetting that Jimmy Garoppolo has not thrown the ball really at all. But
right.
Sanders
has
seen
to in this game.
Yeah, he's seen at least four targets in 9 of 12 games with the 49ers, including 4 games with 6+ targets. And I'm going to combine this too. So I'm going to give you my two prop bets are going to. I'm actually going to give you two players from each game. Emmanuel Sanders the over on 2.5 receptions, and the reason I like that so much is because I have the over on Garoppolo in both pass attempts and completions.
I like
so,
it.
The fun stat I have here is that there was just one quarterback all year who attempted fewer than 29 pass attempts against the Chiefs this year. That's the over under. It's 29.5. And also, there are just two quarterbacks all year who didn't complete at least 18 passes against the Chiefs. One of them was Ryan Tannehill because he threw the ball like minimal times. Like, I went through this and looked at it, and the reason that people, it's almost like they're playing into emotions. Like, Patrick Mahomes is. His prop bets are ridiculously high for this game. And I don't want to bet against Patrick Mahomes, but they're kind of playing into the emotion that you have. But Garoppolo, he has hit that over on completions in 8 of 18 games he's played this year. And that's against teams that maybe didn't score nearly as many points as the Chiefs are going to. So
sure.
I love the over on both Garoppolo attempts and completions, as well as Emmanuel Sanders is my favorite one. The 2.5 receptions just seems like a gimme. He's a guy that...
If I had noticed that would have been mine, man. I would have gone before you just to make sure you couldn't take it before
Well,
me.
He's like... So he's older, right? I think 32 or almost 33. And coming off the Achilles, so he was dealing... I think towards the end of the year, he started to slow down a little bit, but he's also a guy that is at the end of his career, right? And, you know, he knows what it takes to play in these games. He knows how rare it is to get to these games. I believe he pulls out all the stops, and one of the things that's going in his favor is that Tyrann Mathieu has been covering the slot recently, which is where Sanders plays a lot of his snaps with the team. But Mathieu is probably going to be covering Travis Kelce, George Kittle. I cannot imagine that they were going to leave him with, like, Rashad Fenton or something like that.
Sure. Man, if he covered Travis Kelce, that would be a really bad coaching move.
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and say that Emmanuel Sanders, the over 2.5 receptions, is my favorite prop for the game.
The problem with the Kelce coverage, and I was kind of I'm sorry, with the Kittle coverage and Honey Badger, they just don't have any other like bodies to put with them. They have Daniel Sorensen, who's also kind of undersized. They have Kendall Fuller, who started the season. I mean, he's been a slot corner his whole career. He's playing free safety right now. And that's kind of why I brought up like Juan Thornhill was their guy that should have been guarding the tight end in these games. You know, they played Houston, they played Tennessee, you know, all respect to Jonnu Smith. They don't really use him in a high frequency manner. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm not sure what they're going to do against Kittle if they choose to attack that matchup.
I think Sorensen could do it. Sorensen could do anything on the field when you watch him play, man. This guy's so dang good.
He makes some special plays, but he also makes some boneheaded plays. Like he's a very hit or miss player for me.
Yeah, he really is. Okay, guys, if you guys want to check out some of these props, we've got them for you, and we've got it listed with every single sports book out there. bettingpros.com/props. You'll be able to see and compare all of the sports books to see where you can get the best lines on these. Also, if you want to check out the game props, it's bettingpros.com/game props. Here's the one I've got. Tex, you were talking about those touchdowns and how unpredictable they are. Yeah, I agree. And it's likely that I'm going to miss here, but it's +1300 over on BetMGM for Debo scoring the first touchdown. The Kansas City Chiefs have been playing from behind lately, right? Is there a 1 in 13 chance that Debo scores the first touchdown? I would say it's much better than that. And so that's why I'm taking it. Now, granted, there's a 92% chance that I miss on this one. But overall, I think that my expected value of a return is positive. So I'm taking Debo Samuel +1300 for the first touchdown.
I like that call a lot. I was looking at his anytime touchdown odds, and +170 is kind of what I was seeing. That's a little iffy just because, you know, I agree with you guys.
I think touchdowns that's spot on. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just so random in nature, but those are great odds for first touchdown, just with how much he's used as a rusher. I mean, 17 carries, 208 yards, 3 touchdowns on the season, just getting handed the ball. And right. we know what Shanny does, like everything setting up his players with scheme-wise, but Debo is just a legit, really good player, period. I mean, only Lamar Jackson broke more tackles than Debo Samuel this season among all non-RBs.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man, I love the call.
Ooh, holy cow. Tags, we know that Debo was just on fire to end the season. Mm-hmm. He was the number 4 fantasy receiver from week 10 on.
Yeah, no, I like Debo a lot, but I would also say that the Chiefs have been better on the perimeter than they have been in over the middle of the field, to whether it beats tight ends or slot receivers. So knowing that Debo doesn't travel into the slot a whole lot, I'm not opposed to the bet. I mean, the odds sound about right to me. I'd say they're better than 1 in 13. But again, I'm not betting on a touchdown. That's so circumstantial that I can't do it. Like, if you want to bet on a touchdown, I would go to one of the tight ends. Like, Kittle makes sense to me. His odds on a touchdown are +140.
You can get him at +900 for the first touchdown.
I mean, I would be more inclined to take Kittle with the 1-9 odds, just because I believe that Kittle is being so undervalued in this game in terms of what he does for that team and like how he moves the offense.
And also, and again, how Kansas City matches up, sure.
It's been a very quiet playoff. Like,
Debo scored more touchdowns than George Kittle this year, and Debo wasn't really even playing a ton until week 10 when he took off.
Yeah. Kittle, I also think it helps Kittle that he's had 2 weeks off. Like, he's a guy that's been playing through so many injuries this year.
He said he's still got a torn labrum. He's been dealing
with
this.
There's no way. He's a liar, man. There's no chance you can play football with a torn labrum.
I mean, he's playing through a broken ankle.
Especially at that position, man.
I mean, do you guys actually believe he was playing with a broken ankle? We were hearing those reports. Like, broken ankle, torn labrum, and he's still the man?
That's why he won my Frankenstein Award, man.
The guy's amazing. I guess if anyone was going to do it, George Kittle would be the guy.
That's true.
Do you guys think he should really make $18, $20 million a year as a tight end?
He might be the most valuable non-QB in the entire league at this point. I mean, it's crazy. He does everything so well. We've seen this in all the past Super Bowls, like between Gronk, Ertz, and now Kelce. Kittle, like having that chess piece in your offense that can be a dominant receiver and then turn around and be a dominant blocker on the next play, you have someone like Shanahan that can actually orchestrate that to its best ability. It's, again, having one of these elite tight ends is like one of the just best things you can have in the entire league. So, yeah, I think he deserves it.
Tags, did you hear, who was it? Marshall Faulk said that Christian McCaffrey is a better version of himself. Holy cow, what a high praise.
That is a mighty high compliment.
That's just human evolution. Meanwhile, NBA people still acting like the league peaked 30 years ago, Michael Jordan. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, he's still the best of all time, so there's that.
He could have the best career of all time, but, you know.
No, really, I know.
Are you guys talking about Bill Russell?
No, basically the idea, I'm with you in terms of the idea, though, is that you can't compare players from different eras just because, as you mentioned, evolution.
But, okay,
by the way,
you're wrong about George Kittle.
It's Tyron Smith is the most important non-quarterback in the league. But let's move on. We'll go to the next player prop. Ian, who do you have?
All right, I got over 2.5 players to throw a pass at +150. We know we're getting Mahomes and Jimmy. That's two. Now, the Chiefs this season, They had their punter throw a pass. Mm-hmm. They had Sammy Watkins try to throw a pass, but he ended up getting sacked in the divisional round. We've seen Kelce do it before. The 49ers had trick plays for Dante Pettis and Emmanuel Sanders. There's always a chance, God forbid, Mahomes or Jimmy G gets hurt for a play, backup comes in, throws a pass.
And if you're going to do a trick play, like, it's going to be in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. And look at, like, one of the biggest things why I kind of like the Jimmy G overs that we were talking about earlier, maybe even passing yards too. Like, imagine the plays Shanahan has saved up that he just hasn't had the call yet because they've thrown the ball 27 freaking times these last two games. Like, one of the best play designers in the entire league undoubtedly has got to have, you know, five or so tricks up his sleeve waiting for this game. I don't know who the third person is going to be to throw the pass, but I'm going to have money on this, especially at plus 150. Quick note, I did have this also in the 2015 Super Bowl and the Panthers, and they called a trick play for Ted Ginn, and the freaking dude ran out of bounds 1 yard behind the line of scrimmage instead of throwing the ball away. It cost me the bet.
Oh, it's terrible.
Hopefully they've talked to the guys and we can get it fixed this time around.
Yikes, man. Oh. That's a good one. That's a lot of research. I'm looking forward to hearing what color Gatorade you're betting on. I'm sure you've got some good reason there.
All right. Yes, Gatorade. I have been studying this all week. And right
Whoa,
now.
Hold on. You got to say it. We're not getting there yet. We got to go to the Jags first for a second player. No, that's all my fault, man. My bad. My tags, what do you have, dude? Don't take mine.
All right. Well, I told you I had two from each team. So I'm going to go with my first one is Mecole Hardman, over 1.5 receptions and 26.5 yards. Mecole Hardman
ran a lot more routes last game. Yeah,
he did. He actually out-snapped DeMarcus Robinson, which is something that's very significant because Hardman has already hit that receiving yardage prop in 9 of 15 games this year, and that's playing behind Robinson. Like, it was really significant because, and the reason I think it's like a thing is because Hardman has obviously been magic when on the field. Mahomes, when targeting him, he has a 153.9 QB rating. That's the best of any duo in the NFL. They actually averaged a full yard more when Hardman is on the field. DeMarcus Robinson had like 10 drops in the divisional round. So it's like, I think he had a demotion for a reason. DeMarcus Robinson's just kind of there as a guy on the field. He's not going to do anything for them. They need the splash plays. Mecole Hardman playing more snaps. I love that. At 1.5 receptions and 26 yards, the over on that. And I will also take Damian Williams, the over on 13.5 rushing attempts and 50.5 yards. Because if I'm taking the over on the 13.5 rushing attempts, if you figure it out and say 14 rushing attempts, he needs to average just 3.6 yards per carry to hit that rushing prop of 50.5 yards. The 49ers.
And what's he done since he became the starter? 125, 77, 65, 124.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is like, so the reason that he hasn't really carried the ball much the last couple weeks, I think, comes down to the fact that the Chiefs, they fell behind in both games, and they were forced to throw a little bit more than they wanted to. The 49ers, I don't see the 49ers jumping out to a big lead, and if they do, I think it'd be a surprise to everyone. But regardless, 13.5, he's playing every single snap. The combination of LeSean McCoy and Darwin Thompson have combined for one touch. Playoffs. So it's like,
I mean, Williams on the field every snap.
Yeah, if you're getting a workhorse running back, I mean, the Super Bowl, right. Andy Reid, it just like, you know, in terms of like we talked about Shanahan, Andy Reid is a guy that has been here before, but he's never won the big game, right? And he's not a guy that's going to keep throwing the ball if they take the lead. Now, I'm not saying they're going to stop throwing the ball altogether. That's not going to happen. You shouldn't do that. But 13.5 rushing attempts for a workhorse running back that's playing all of the snaps, essentially, that one, yeah, I'm down with that one.
Tags, I'm gonna piggyback right off of this. Here's my second player prop. You're gonna love this one, okay? I've got Damian Williams plus 225 to lead the Super Bowl in rushing yards on 888 Sports. Plus 225
Wow.
for the favorites and a guy who's playing 99% of the snaps.
I love that. That plus 225.
That's my favorite bet of anything. Like,
is Coleman playing,
history,
by the way?
Man.
Have we gotten clearance? Like, is he actually playing?
Who?
Tevin Coleman.
Oh, I thought you said Damian Williams. I was like, yeah, he's playing. Like, what?
It sounds like he's going to give it a go, but, I mean, Shanahan's already kind of calling it a pain tolerance thing. We've seen this story with running backs this year. Jordan Howard, Jamal Williams. Like, it's not easy to come back from a shoulder, and I kind of throw rib injuries in there, too, and expect the guy to, you know, run into the teeth of a defense more than a couple times. So I think maybe he'll probably be active, but I would guess more like emergency RB3 more than anything.
Even if he's not, though, Matt Breida is quite good. I would say Matt Breida is a better running back than Tevin Coleman.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I were forced to pick the over under for Mostert, I would say under 80.5. I think people are going to be hammering the over on that, by
80?
The way. Yeah, it's
that's huge, man.
I mean, They're playing into the emotions. People are coming off that game where he scored four touchdowns, goes for over 200 yards, and it's like the Cinderella story. But the truth be told, with this backfield, it's been so unpredictable throughout the year. You've seen games with Mostert getting 20 plus touches, and he did phenomenal. The next week he gets 12. Same thing with Coleman. You know, he was a guy that was getting a lot of touches, and then they cut him off. Divisional round, 22 touches. I would not be shocked if Matt Breida comes out and gets 15 touches in this game. Like, that's right. Just how unpredictable it's been. So, and if they fall behind, I don't think that Mostert's their best receiver.
And by the way, if you guys want to smash that prop, you can go to bettingpros.com/props and you'll see it. You can just hit the drop-down buttons, click most rushing yards for player props. You'll see Damian Williams over there. He's plus 146 on DraftKings. And you go over to 888 Sports and it's plus 225.
Well,
sorry, go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I agree. The 49ers backfield really all season has just been a hot hand approach. Whereas with Kansas City, I mean, Damian Williams has been the guy pretty much all year. He just kind of had some on and off injuries ever since he came back. And, you know, towards the later second half of the season, he hasn't been quite the same three down role he's been in the playoffs, but he's still clearly been the featured guy. Like, I agree. It could be Breida over Mostert if that's kind of the way things are going in the first quarter. I don't see any scenario where Thompson or McCoy even come close to matching what Damian's going to get.
Right. So what you're basically saying then, with the 49ers being so unpredictable, is Jeff Wilson for Super Bowl MVP?
No way in hell. But I did this like playmaker article where I kind of just looked at like what players have the highest rate of like big plays and touchdowns on their touches, because I wanted to find a way to kind of show how good Mecole Hardman had been. And yeah, Mecole was number one player in the league. He's got six touchdowns of 30 plus yards this season. I mean, it's ridiculous. But Jeff Wilson was actually popping up really high on it. I mean, the guy's only gotten like 20 or 25 touches this year. He probably won't even be active this Sunday. But when he did get the ball, like, he usually did good things with it. So hats off to Jeff Wilson.
Mm-hmm. All right, fellas, we're going to move into the non-football props here in just a moment. But first, I want to tell everyone listening about Thrive Fantasy. I love this new game concept. You guys are going to love it, too. Come hashtag prop up on Thrive Fantasy for the big game. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. Here's the best part, okay? They've eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask about the top-tier athletes in their respective sport. Choose 10 out of the 20 player prop options to build your lineup. Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur. The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it's going to be. So you can rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Thrive has over $20,000 guaranteed in prizes for the big game between the 49ers and Chiefs and a $500 free roll. So use the promo code PROS. That's PROS when you sign up today, and you're going to receive an instant match up to $25 on your first deposit. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store, or by visiting the website www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and hashtag prop up today. All right, guys, let's go with these crazy Super Bowl props that really don't have anything to do with football. Ian, you're starting us off here. Make it good, buddy.
All right, man. National anthem. It's going to be Demi Lovato. Excuse me if I messed up that name, but
you got it.
I have watched.
I wouldn't know, man. I've never heard of him. I don't know.
So the over-under for the national anthem is at 2 minutes. The last two have hit the under at 149 or 153. But I'm thinking it's going to be the over this time, guys. I've gone on a YouTube rabbit hole. I found six examples of Lovato singing the Star Spangled Banner over the last, like, 15 years. Her first three were all 152 or under. But then 2012 came around. She eased up to 151. In 2015, she got all the way up to 158. And then most recently at the McGregor-Mayweather boxing match, Demi was clocked in at 2 minutes and 12 seconds. I did not personally watch the Grammys, but I heard that she had a great showing there and really, you know, made a point of holding out notes. So 2 minutes seems a little bit low. I'm going to go with the most recent history we have and say that Demi is going over 2 minutes. And I just want to say from personal experience, nothing is more exhilarating than having that stopwatch in hand as the national anthem was going on. So I cannot recommend this bet enough.
Wouldn't you say that, like, it correlates with how popular the event is? The more people who are watching, the longer it's typically going to be because you're showing off that voice a little bit more?
You got to think the Braves going to be going on for, you know, 15 seconds.
Tags, do you have any analysis on this?
This cracks me up, man.
Okay, I've got one that I think is going to make me some serious money here, okay? Plus 400. there is going to be a sign shown on TV that says Epstein didn't kill himself. I think it's happening, guys. I think somebody's going to do it. How often do we see this? Everywhere we go, and it's going to be on the Super Bowl, plus 400. Sign me up.
That's going to be a tough one to monitor, man. You cannot look away from the TV.
I am watching the whole thing, dude, so I can win this bad boy. All right. Tags, do you have one you want to do, or should we just go back to Ian?
I have a will there be a wardrobe malfunction? I'm going to go ahead and take no minus 2,500.
Tags is going to find all these where it's like minus 10,000. He's going to bet $10,000 to win.
There
one.
Is not going to be another nipple gate. We're not going to have another situation like that. I mean, J-Lo might show a butt crack or something like that, but that's not a wardrobe malfunction. That's just her walking around clothes.
God, that'd be the worst thing ever to lose that bet during halftime.
Wouldn't it though? I'm not going to watch it. I'm really not. I mean, it's just not my
thing. Not going to watch halftime?
They're performers. Like, that's fine, but it's not my thing.
What's your like go-to halftime food, Tag?
I really want
people need to know.
Hold on. So this year I'm smoking pork, like a pork shoulder. So we're going to like do that. But I'm good with whatever, man. If you want to get White Castle because we're drinking, we're having beverages throughout the day. That usually is like one of the better drinking foods, but yeah, I want to know why the NFL can't do a band like Metallica. Metallica, I think, is generational. They've been around for a long time. They can still play. They put on a hell of a show. Why can't Metallica play the halftime show?
I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know why George Strait can't play the halftime show.
Well, they've had country artists before. I'm just talking
about
like a rock.
I don't know.
Act.
I never
it's
pay
so
attention,
long.
But George Strait over Metallica.
No. Ew. Stop.
Bring it on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro.
No.
Bring it.
No, Ian.
Hell, Bobby.
Ian, would you take Metallica over George, whatever, Strait?
Yeah, obviously.
Thank you.
I don't even know who George Strait is.
He's a country artist.
Right,
I know that.
Man. You know exactly who George Strait is. You've got posters of him in your bedroom.
Oh my God! Every country song sounds the same, man. I'm out on that genre.
Dude, I will fight you. I will fight you over this. Hey, Ian, what do you eat at halftime, man? What's your go-to?
So I've gotten turned on the jalapeno poppers lately. Nice. Shout out to my. Bears bus tailgate crew, but I've gotten turned on to that. It warms you up and they just taste good. Yeah. And it's like one bite food, so you don't have to worry about, you know, forks and all that.
Nice. Yeah, what about you, Bobby? Like that. What are you eating halftime? Tell me it's not pomegranate or something like that.
I mean, if there was pomegranate there, heck yeah, I'd eat it, dude, but I've never seen pomegranate at a Super Bowl party.
Because it's terrible. That's why.
There's always chili there, so I'm sure I'll have chili and just, you know, even if the chili's not great, I'll just pour a ton of hot sauce in there. But more than likely, what I'm looking for is that buffalo chicken dip, man. Or just straight up buffalo wings. I don't care if my hands get all messy. Like, I'm here to watch football. You know what Fair. I mean? So, yeah, my mouth is watering big time right now. Give me like 20 chicken wings and I'm happy. I don't need no vegetables or anything like that.
I cannot stress how much better that take was than that George Strait atrocity.
Yes.
I was just messing with you guys about the George Strait
you
thing.
You are so full of crap.
Okay. I don't even listen to music. It's like sports radio or nothing.
He's so full of crap.
All right, let's go one more of these crazy props each. Mine actually has a little bit to do with football.
I have one.
All right.
I'm going to let you guys save yours because yours is going to be better than mine. I'm going to go ahead. There's a prop that you can bet. Will Pitbull make an appearance on stage? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bet yes minus 200. And it's a win-win situation for me because if he doesn't show up on stage, it's a win for me. If he does show up on stage, then I win money. So I'm rooting for him not to show up on stage, but I'm betting. It's almost like if you have your favorite team in the Super Bowl. My uncle did this like years ago, right?
Emotional hedge.
Yeah, the Bears were in the Super Bowl against the Colts, and he called me and talked to me about the game. I'm like, I don't want to bet on the Bears. He's like, no, I'm actually betting against them. He's like, it's a win-win. If the Bears win the Super Bowl, great. If not, I win a lot of money. So he bet the Colts, and it was a smart thing to do. So I kind of learned from that and said, I'm going to bet Pitbull making appearance on stage because he's from Miami and all that stuff. But and he just seems to be everywhere. And if he doesn't show up, then it's a win-win.
I'm looking up Pitbull right now, and I'm not seeing anything besides just like the breed of dog. Is this an actual person you're trying to pull my leg?
Oh, Bobby, I'm not into pop culture, dude.
Remember how there was like we had that Does Tags Know Everything contest, and there was someone named Bad Bunny or something?
I do remember that. I didn't know who they were.
I still think you were making that up.
I wasn't. I don't know anything. But you know who Pitbull is. Stop it.
No, I swear I've never heard of him before.
Stop it. Are you just like trying to piss us off?
No, I'm being serious, guys, okay? I'm telling everybody listening to this. I don't know. Am I supposed to be embarrassed about
this? Ian, Bobby has told me before, like legitimately, that he has never seen Rocky.
What is going on here?
Yeah, like, he's a weird dude, man. I'm telling you.
Come on, man.
What do you guys expect me to do? Like sit here and listen to pop music and watch movies when there's sports on? Give me a break. Get out of here. Both of
you. At least find out how the Cold War like ended, dude. It's history.
So good.
All right, Ian, why don't you give us... Actually, we're going to save yours for last because yours is a lot better. I feel really bad about saying this one. And also, I really don't want to be rooting for it. But I just think it's easy money, so I'm going to take it. Player to leave and not return due to concussion. Plus 120? What?
Oh.
How's that possible? How is that not like the favorite?
I got a better one that's a little bit less egregious than that. You can do roughing the passer penalty. Yes, is plus 135. So you can still hope for a little bit.
Okay, I'll trade it for that one. Because, I really don't want to be like, oh, yeah, he's ruled out for concussion, but I really think it's going to happen. It always happens.
Right. It does. I mean, I wonder how many games, like, if you were to, did you do research on that, Bobby? Like, if you were to, in any every game, like, look over the, 16 by 16 or whatever it is, or how many games?
It's got to be more than 50-50.
I would guess that it's, like, in 3/4 of the games at least. I'm not positive, though.
Yeah, I saw they just released the concussion stats at the end of the year. It was, like, slightly up from last year, but the trend is still going down from, like, 3 or 4 years
good.
Ago. So, yeah.
Nice. All right, so what's your final prop? Do you have a couple more, Ian?
I got one more that I have poured my heart into this week, and it's the Gatorade odds.
All right.
So the favorite right now is lime or green-yellow at plus 275. Then we got clear and red at plus 300, blue and orange are plus 400, and if you're really feeling real crazy, purple is plus 1400. So at the AFC Championship press conference after the game, Andy Reid had a bottle of red Gatorade sitting right next to him.
He's the Kool-Aid man. Come on.
Cool. Yeah, it'd be so on brand if they douse him with Kool-Aid instead of Gatorade, but I'm not sure how that factors into the prop.
Right.
But so he
just says
Gatorade
color
there.
Of liquid dumped on the coach.
Well, so I brought this to attention because I thought it might be a tell. One of my Twitter followers, whose handle I forget, apologies, but they claim they talked to a trainer recently, and this point makes sense. They said they won't put red Gatorade on the sidelines to avoid players spilling it on white jerseys and getting confused for blood. I don't know if that's true, but it makes sense to me. And right now, that's got the second highest odds of anything. The only evidence I could find photo-wise of either of these coaches getting doused in Gatorade, Andy Reid in 2013 got yellow poured on him, but that was the Alex Smith era, so whatever. And Shanahan got clear water thrown on him after the 49ers' first victory a couple years ago. I think clear/water at plus 300 is the sharp play here. Everyone's going to go with red because both teams are red.
The Chiefs and 49ers. That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Exactly. But we have the, insider, may or may not be true, Twitter user giving me some
may
help.
May or may not be true.
And I think we need to ride with this guy.
All right, guys. clear/water plus 300 for the Gatorade prop. Mm-hmm. Ian, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show, man.
Thanks for having me, dude. This was fun. I'm happy to talk XFL with you guys anytime.
That's all you, buddy.
No.
Actually, you know what? We'll have Kyle Yates and Dan Harris do that one.
There we go. Hey. I like that better.
Yeah. All right. And guys, follow Ian on Twitter if you haven't already. He is almost at 30,000 followers. I don't know why this isn't 10 times as much, but you guys can get him there. He's at iHeartIt on Twitter. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro, and Mike is at Mike Teglier NFL. Thanks again, Ian. All right. We're going to transition over here in just a second to the listener mailbag, but first, thanks to Grammarly for supporting our podcast. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. They encourage everyone, even the best students and top professionals, to use Grammarly to do their best work and accomplish even more of their goals. I've been using Grammarly since even before I was an analyst at Fantasy Pros, and I'll be honest with you, I never realized how much of a train wreck my grammar and spelling were until I started to use it. Frankly, having Grammarly on my side may have been the difference between getting noticed for this job or still working my boring old IT job. I had a serious issue with being concise, and Grammarly Premium helped me to stop that. Look, I don't care how smart you are. Grammarly is going to make you improve yourself while looking and sounding smarter. You can show your best self across a number of platforms, including the online browser extension, the desktop editor, and a mobile keyboard checker, too. It works with Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Edge, iOS, Android, Windows, and Mac. And the free version checks your spelling and grammar, but the premium version is incredible. Listen to this. It adds advanced punctuation, style within context, helps with your vocabulary, conciseness, as I mentioned, readability, and even structure. Accomplish your goals with the help from Grammarly and stop making those email typos on your phone. Close more deals at work this year with your emails or polish your resume to get a great new job just like I did a few years ago. Go to Grammarly.com/fantasypros to get 20% off your Grammarly premium account today. That's Grammarly.com/fantasypros for 20% off your Grammarly premium account. All right, guys, and now we're going to transition over to the listener mailbag. We're going to have a little bit of fun with this. There's a lot of football stuff in here as well, but Tags, we got to start with this one from Aaron Hansen on Twitter. waffles or pancakes? I'm going to throw in another one, okay?
Yeah.
French toast.
Well, that's a game changer right there, because waffles and pancakes don't have anything on them, right? You just put the butter and you put the syrup on them. But French toast, that's different. Like, that's where it's at. Like, if you're going to throw French toast into it, it's got to be French toast. But
okay, so French toast would be your number one.
It would be my number one. But in terms of waffles and pancakes, it really depends on the person, to be honest. Like, I fully understand. Like, so Bobby, you know, like when you go to school as a kid and your mom makes you like this peanut butter and jelly sandwich, right? And then she puts it in the lunch bag and then it goes in the bottom and it gets all smushed down, right? And then like you open it. Some kids, my wife, like she hates that still to this day. Me, I loved it. Like, I absolutely love when that happened. So that's kind of like the thing between like pancakes and waffles. It's like, do you prefer like a harder breakfast type treat or like a softer one? Me personally, I'd say waffles is number two and then pancakes number three.
I'm a big crepes guy, man. Crepes are absolutely delicious. You get the cream cheese on there. No, they're not even close to pancakes. They're totally different, man. You get the cream cheese on there, put some blackberries on it or something like that. Maybe just some Nutella and bananas. Crepes are where it's at. But if I have to choose between these two, I agree with you. French toast over both. But I'm going waffles over pancakes, mostly because they've got those little holes that like hold the syrup.
They do.
So it doesn't look like you're just covering it in syrup. You can just kind of hide it. And nobody knows how much of a child you're being. And I don't really like the maple syrup as much as I like that Karo syrup. You know what I'm talking about? The white stuff. Ooh, man, that stuff is good. Well, I can drink that.
Yeah, also pancakes get soggy if you put too much on there. And basically you try and stick your fork in them, it doesn't even do it, and you have to like spoon it out. It's not as good. So the waffles don't get like that. So I'm with you on this one. I think we're, and by the way, I wanted to mention on the show, like I apparently people don't know this. Like, I don't, Bobby, I'm guessing you have like a flip phone, but if you have like an iPhone, if you double, like if you're typing a text, if you press the space bar twice, it puts a period for you. So you don't have to like go back and forth. Like, my brother did not know this, and I was like shocked. I thought everyone knew it, but apparently I started asking people and they didn't know it. So it's like a life hack.
I didn't know that either. All right, next question. This is from Lars on Twitter. He says, do you think there's going to be this quarterback earthquake this offseason? You know, Rivers, Brady, Winston, Mariota, Foles, Dalton, are they all moving? Or is it just going to kind of be, you know, an overblown idea going into the offseason and nothing really changes?
Yeah, I don't know if we have enough guys coming in that I really feel great about that are going to start right away. Obviously, Burrow's going to start right away. Tua, maybe if it health allows, because apparently
he's... on where he plays. Like, if he gets drafted by the Lions at 3.
Right. Then he's going to sit behind Stafford. For sure. And that might be the best thing for him, just so to heal up from that surgery he had. But I don't know. I can't see Brady. I think Brady, it's retirement or it's Patriots. I don't think he's leaving. Dalton is going to go.
Oh, I don't. See, I disagree on Brady with that. I think that Brady wants to prove himself apart from Belichick.
I think that would be the dumbest thing he would do, to learn a new offense, start with a new
team. You really
team.
Think that he couldn't go to the Chargers with Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler, Hunter Henry, and have a better season than last year?
That offensive line? Yep. I don't believe so. I don't. No, I don't. That's the thing, is like, there's a lot of things. The Patriots offensive line coach just retired, I think, yesterday. And that's like a big blow. And I think this team is just about to rebuild. Like, I think it's in that. And I wish, I'm being honest, and I say I want Brady to retire because I don't want people to remember him as like, you know, like towards the end of Peyton Manning's career, unfortunately, you kind of had that feeling where I remember watching. I was one of the biggest Peyton Manning fans.
Well, yeah, but his body didn't work. Like, Brady's body's still fine. He can still do it.
Well, that's the thing, is it happens like overnight, right? Because Peyton, he broke the record for touchdowns just like a season prior. And then all of a sudden, the next year, they're in the Super Bowl. And I'm like rooting to get him, pull him out of the game, because I don't want people to remember Peyton Manning like that. So I want to see Brady retire, like, you know, on top of the game. And unfortunately, I think we already saw the beginning of the decline for him. But I don't think he goes anywhere else, to be honest with you. I just can't see Brady in another uniform.
I'm going to make a bold prediction here, okay? And I'm not saying this is most likely, but I do think it's possible. I haven't seen anybody talk about this. I think there's a chance everyone's saying, where's Rivers going to play? Indianapolis? Maybe the Raiders? Maybe he goes to the Patriots if Brady retires? Something along these lines, right? I think that Rivers could play for the Dallas Cowboys. If Dak Prescott is seriously going to demand $40 million, they're not even going to be close. What else can they possibly do?
Oh, they're gonna
rather than, you know, just go get Philip Rivers for $18, $20 million. And save $15 million to spend on two Pro Bowl offensive linemen or defensive players, you know?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, but they're going to pay Dak. You can't let a franchise quarterback go. You can't do it. And
so, like, if he's saying $40 million, do you think they can get away with just paying him just $30 million for Dak Prescott?
I mean, it's all about
negotiation. I don't think Dak signs it, and I don't think the Cowboys would be willing to do that.
No, I mean, the question is, can they fit both Dak and Amari? And I think their priority is going to be with Dak, obviously, because, like, you know, a quarterback, they can't move on without him. I could see Rivers playing for the Colts because Brissett's extension that he got with them was 2 years, $30 million. That's nothing crazy. That's like a Mike Glennon contract in a way. Yeah. He did get $20 million guaranteed at signing, so it was a terrible contract.
And he's still a really good backup. If he happens to be your backup...
Yeah, not bad, but he, I think we saw as the year went on, he's just not it. So I would like to see Rivers in a Colts uniform. I think that would make sense.
Yeah, that would be a fun fit, seeing him in the dome as well. All right, let's see here. We had a couple questions about Joe Burrow, so we're going to take this one from Matt. He wants to know, Jimmy G or Joe Burrow, who's going to have a better fantasy season next year? And where are we drafting Burrow?
Well, it's tough to say without knowing, like, the situation that what Jimmy G is going to be in, because I do anticipate the 49ers drafting a number one receiver. They need an alpha dog. And not to say that this is no slight at Deebo Samuel, but he was never projected to be the number one in an offense, like that X receiver, that guy that you could throw it up to win contested catches. They need someone like that. So if Jimmy G gets one of those guys, I'll like him more, but it's still going to be a run-heavy offense, whereas the Bengals... I think Burrow is going to be the better one because Burrow does offer some mobility. It's one of my knocks on Burrow, actually, is that he takes too many hits. He's just, like, dumb about it, where he's not a mobile quarterback, but he has enough mobility to get himself in trouble. And he takes these hits on the sideline rather than just sliding or going out of bounds. And that may have been the college mentality where it's like, you know, I'm playing for my team, my school.
Well, but, he's also a lot bigger than some of those guys who are tackling him. And it's not going to be the case in the NFL.
But I've seen I was he's noting
a smart
it as
kid
I was going.
Too. I bet he can clean that up pretty quick.
But yeah, I'm going to go with Burrow just because he's on a team that has a terrible defense. It's going to take a while to rebuild that Bengals defense. Right. He does. I'm anticipating AJ Green being back. He's got John Ross that pairs very well with his big arm. He has Tyler. There is so much talent on the offensive side
Tyler
of the ball.
Boyd,
and their offensive
Auden
line.
Tate, Joe Mixon's one of the best running backs. Jonah Williams is coming back.
Yeah, so I'll
maybe they, they've got all kinds of draft capital, money to spend. Maybe they upgrade the offensive line a little more. I mean, would it surprise you? Seriously, Tex, not joking at all. Would it surprise you if the Bengals are a top quartile offense next year, top eight?
No, I actually, in my bold predictions article, it's that the Bengals' offense is going to be extremely underrated and that they're going to produce a lot of different fantasy options, and people are going to be overlooking them continually. So, yes, I could see that. It's almost like a Bucs situation, right? Where you had the Bucs defense that was so bad that it forced Jameis Winston to throw the ball over 600 times. And not that they necessarily want to do that, but it's what it takes. And yeah. Zach Taylor, I think he did, like he was in a bad spot last year. That defense is horrible, but the offense, they were dealt a lot of like a really bad hand. And I'm really excited to see what this team can do in 2020.
All right. I like this question a lot. This one comes from Josh Roberts. He says, what rules would you have for the perfect redraft league? Size, scoring, draft structure. Tags, you go first. I'll clean it up and fix all of your errors at the end.
Yeah, so I'm a fan of PPR scoring. I believe it's the most predictive. And yes, there are going to be things that are going to happen that are going to tick you off as a player, like he caught a pass behind the line of scrimmage, or, you know, just right behind the line of scrimmage, got 1 yard. He shouldn't get 1.1 points. Yeah, that's going to happen, but you're also going to have a lot of random stuff when you go to standard. It's why a lot of people are starting to switch to half PPR and full PPR.
Yeah, you just want to reward the best fantasy players, and the best fantasy players are the ones who can predict what will happen.
Yes, they do it continually, and they rack up those receptions. So I do prefer PPR scoring. The size is 12 for me. It's getting closer to being okay with 14 teams.
I like 14.
Yeah, but 12 is a good... The reason I like 12, it's like, you know, scraping your friends, and like you might start inviting people that you wouldn't necessarily want. But I think 12 is a sweet spot where it's like you have a good core of friends that you could play with. And
it's true. And there's a good amount of players out there for that. Like 14, though, here's my thing. You play everybody exactly once, and then you get the fantasy playoffs.
Well, it would be – well, you – oh, that's right. Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but that part's kind of nice. I do not believe in divisions. I think those are the stupidest things I've ever heard
100%
of.
100% agree.
Do not do divisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will fight someone on that one, Bobby. You're fighting everybody. That's the only thing that I've said I'll fight someone on. But in terms of like –
you won't fight someone about getting rid of kickers?
No. No. You
love kickers,
I hate
don't
them.
You?
But no, but by the way, like in terms of like the actual, this is where the most important part comes in though. Make the league as deep as possible. I'm okay if you want to do super flex. I don't care. I don't think you need to, but if you do one quarterback, three running backs, four wide receivers, two or three flex spots, one tight end, like that to me, the deeper the starting lineup, the more skill level it takes, the bigger the benches, the more skill it takes. Because again, these guys that are in the bottom of the standings, they can't just find studs off the waiver wire, you know, every single week. So I know some people prefer to have shorter benches. I'm not one of them. I want
the waiver wire to be kind of bare and not.
Yeah,
you know,
I believe it should be scarce in terms of like you don't find five players on there every single week.
Sure, I think that's fair. I agree with you about deeper. I wouldn't go three running backs, four wide receivers. I would just go two flex, maybe three flex, but tags, this is my number one. You can, I don't like kickers. Mm-hmm. I don't especially even like defense. You got to get rid of kickers, but my number one is the super flex. I think it's extremely important. Here we have the single most important position in all of sports. And we're only rostering 12, 15 of the 32. Meanwhile, we've got 60 running backs rostered in our league. A lot of these guys are never going to play. You get the super flex out there, man. 14 teams. That's 28 quarterbacks starting every week. You've got some backup quarterbacks as well. It's the most important position in football, guys. And I would also say to make passing touchdowns worth 6 points. Interceptions worth -4. I want to reward the best quarterbacks and really get their scoring up there as the most impactful players in the league because they are the most impactful players in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I have no issue with Superflex. Like, of my 17 leagues, I think four of them might be two quarterback or Superflex, okay. One or the other. And I'm okay with them. It's a different strategy for sure. So it does require people to do a little bit more research. So I should not be opposed to it.
And it's really moving up too. I mean, we were a couple years ago, we were looking at 5-10% of leagues were super flex. Now it's about 25-30%.
Wow. I didn't realize it was getting that high.
And I think it's going to become standard here within the next 5 years. So you guys be ready for that. And it will be, I'll welcome it with open arms. Let me ask you this, Tags, okay? How do you feel about the tight end position? Should we just get rid of tight ends and then just make them wide receivers?
No, I don't want to do that. And I know some people have talked about that, but I think that's part of it, right? Like the idea of drafting someone like Kelce or Kittle or Ertz, you know, in the first couple of rounds, it's a strategy thing.
I like having more strategy, yeah.
Yeah, and so if you eliminate that, it's really not. You kind of bundle them in with wide receivers and it's just like, it's boring. Where I'm not necessarily usually the guy that takes tight ends early, but this year, like looking at everything, if I don't get a workhorse running back at the end of the second round where I'm looking, I might get Kelce or Kittle there, and I might be okay with that because I think we're getting to the point, and there was another question that came in. I know we're not going to talk about it in specific, but he was asking, you know, it was a very top-heavy running back, wide receiver, tight end thing. I don't really think so. I mean, I think it's going to remain that going forward. Like, you're going to have the studs, and then there's going to be everybody else where there's a lot of timeshares at running back. So the workhorse running backs that are locked into 20 touches, those are extremely valuable that you can't find in the waiver wire. You're not going to without injury.
We talked about it last show. It ends with Josh Jacobs in the middle of the second round. After that, everyone's a crapshoot almost.
Exactly. And it's just like they all bundle together. And wide receivers, you're seeing more 3-4 wide receiver sets. That's why you're seeing more receivers than ever getting 100 targets. And you're not seeing those massive numbers anymore. Like in terms of like, you know, the 180, 200 target seasons, we're not seeing that really anymore. So unfortunately, I think running backs are becoming like so much harder to get your hands on. And like, if you try and trade for a running back in season, good luck because people just don't trade them.
You're right. Hey, Tex, I got another one that I think you are going to jump all over that we passed over probably because it's so obvious to us. But a lot of people are still playing in leagues where the championship is week 17.
No.
That's an absolute no-no, isn't it?
I did it the first year I played fantasy because it was the first league I put together, and I didn't really know better. And then the first year, after doing it the first year, and this was like a long time ago where teams didn't rest players as much as they do now. They still did, but I learned my lesson. It was like, never again. Just understand, guys, you could be the perfect team all season, and then you get to week 17, and all of a sudden the guys that carried your team the entire...
Yeah, Lamar Jackson carries you there, and you don't even get to use him.
Yep, Christian McCaffrey didn't play a whole lot in week 17. They pulled him from that game. So the same thing happened last year with McCaffrey. So yeah, don't do that. That just brings it down to too much luck, and the idea is to make it more skillful. And week 17 is so random. It's one of the better DFS weeks to play because, again, you get casuals and the people that pay attention are going to do well, because you could save money on a lot of players. But don't play week 17 championship.
One more question in regard to league settings. And Josh, thank you for the question. This was a lot of good content, I believe. Yeah. Draft structure. Do you like to, you know, just do the typical serpentine draft where you circle back around? Do you like reverse first round for the rest of the draft? For me, I love auction because you talk about the strategy. What's more strategy than being able to go out and build the exact team you want? Stars and scrubs? Yeah, you can do that. If you want everybody on your team to be about $15, $20 and you've got crazy depth, you can do that. You can build your team however you want. It doesn't matter if someone's got the first overall pick and they get Christian McCaffrey. Oh, well, they're in the playoffs. That's lucky for them. No, you can spend $80 on Christian McCaffrey if you really want it.
Yeah, no, I love auction. Honestly, I really struggle to understand why people want to play fantasy football without having a live draft. I believe having a live draft is one of the coolest things ever. I think it keeps people close because there's a lot of friends that you don't see, you know, throughout the year, but it's like that time of the year where you all get together, you act goofy, you do whatever, and you have a good time. And auctions, it's not only you get that, but you also get so much strategy. There is no more strategy. Like, if you want to test your abilities, play in an auction league with people that know what they're doing, and you're going to find out. It's getting interesting, like, as time goes on, because as I mentioned, you have those studs and then you have everybody else. I'm curious to see how much these players, like someone like Christian McCaffrey, is going to go for next year in drafts. And I imagine it's going to be extremely high, but it's a challenge from there on out. But I think the Stars and Scrubs idea actually can work more than ever, just with the way that the NFL is trending. So auctions, if you can do it, like, honestly, and if you're starting a league, do a live draft. Make sure that everybody that you talk to is willing to work with you on dates, and start like a Google document where you can all put your dates in there that you're unavailable, and just find the one that there's nobody busy, and you just make it that day, get together. And I promise, when you leave an auction,
it's more fun than a Super Bowl party.
Yes. The only people that will not like auctions are casual players. And that's
why you don't want them in your league anyway. So, well, find out.
I do. It's easy money, but the thing is that's why casuals hate it. They will hate having the fact that they don't like having to prepare. But if you're listening to this podcast, if you can convince your home league to do an auction, believe me, it's going to give you a major, major advantage.
I agree with that. All right, Ben, we're back to the food question. This one's from Stick Stomper. He says, you can have one, but you have to give up the other for the rest of your life. Pizza or tacos?
I am never going to give up pizza. It's one of those reasons, like, people talk to me about the, the fad diet right now? Keto? People have talked to me about that. They're like, combine that with your intermittent fasting. I'm like, no, I'm never going to give up pizza.
There's people out there who gave up pizza?
Oh, I mean, you can't eat bread.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, so they make like...
If you are listening to this podcast and you gave up pizza, you explain yourself to me right now on Twitter, at BobbyFantasyPro. What in the world are you thinking?
I'm never going to... I would never do that. So I do like tacos. I like steak tacos. I like regular beef tacos. I would give them up before pizza 100%.
Well, here's the thing. You can give up tacos and still have tacos, because what's a burrito? A burrito is a closed taco. Yeah, and burritos are better than tacos.
Nachos. Nachos too.
Nachos are
well. If you get like a hard nacho, if you like eating hard shell tacos, like the hard shell meat tacos.
Oh yeah. See, I don't do that.
No,
you eat hard shell tacos over soft shell.
No. There is no hard shell steak tacos. It's all soft shell. And by the way, I'm team corn, not team flour. Are you corn
wrong
or flour?
Again? But it's okay, man. Like, we're talking about yummy food. You can have your own opinions. I won't fight you over this.
Okay, yeah. Corn tortilla, like soft tortillas for the steak tacos. But when it comes to like making meat tacos at home, yeah, we're going to put it in like an old El Paso taco and the taco shells. And there's ones that stand up on their own. I love them because I don't need like a holder, because otherwise they just fall over. And that's not
tacos fun. Are good, man. Like, they're good. But just give me a burrito instead and I'll take pizza
hungry.
For the rest of my life. You know what you could also do? You can make taco pizza. You can't make pizza tacos.
No, you can't do that.
All right, we're back to football. This one comes from Jim. What player do you feel can be a late round running back that can crack the top 12 PPR next season? I'm going to go first on this one, so you have a little bit of time to think about it, okay? Yeah. I'm going to go with a guy who did it, not this year, but the year before, and he's still extremely young. It just depends on how they use him. He's got this kind of upside. It's Tariq Cohen. He was a top 12 running back in 2018 as a 23-year-old.
He was. It's so different because they're using David Montgomery in a way that I never thought. But Tariq Cohen
didn't really work. Like, maybe they changed their mind and he gets 80 receptions again.
Well, as of right now, I mean, I think it would be easy for me to say Raheem Mostert because, like, he's actually one spot ahead of Cohen in our ECR, but people are just slow to react to that. But yeah, Mostert would be my choice there. I think he proved himself obviously later in the year. And if they're going to ride with one, it would be him. I think Breida, I want to say his contract's up after this year. Tevin Coleman is very cheap. He's not very good.
A lot of it's going to depend on what happens in the offseason. Like, if we know Mostert's the starting running back, he's not going to be drafted as the number 30 running back or something. He's going to be drafted as number 15.
Yeah. And the other one I'd say is Rashad Penny. He's going to go really late of the ACL. But he's someone that Chris Carson, I mean, coming off the hip injury, like that's a real injury. And if he doesn't return the same player, like that, he's a bruising running back. Right. And you know, dealing with that type of injury, I don't know how he's going to bounce back. And Rashad Penny,
sure,
towards the end of the year, they were starting to lean towards him. You know, you remember that before he got hurt? And it was like,
yeah, because Carson was fumbling so much and Penny was just as good.
Yeah, and they drafted him in the first round. I mean, they have him on that rookie deal. Why not use him up? So Penny is one of those guys.
There's also those backup running backs. Like, let's say something happens to Sony Michel or Ezekiel Elliott. We've got Damian Harris still.
I think, Burkhead's going to be gone.
Yeah, he could definitely be Damian Harris season. Alexander Mattison, if something happens to Dalvin Cook. Tony Pollard, if something happens to Zeke. Let's say Mark Ingram's gone and something happens to Gus Edwards, or they just hand over the reins to Justice Hill. He could be an RB1. Justin Jackson, if Austin Eckler gets hurt. Rykel Armstead, if Leonard Fournette, you know, the glass running back, gets hurt. There's a lot of guys like that. I don't think it's one of these, you know, low-end running backs who's starting, you know, Darius Geis or Devonta Freeman.
The idea is that you want to tie yourself, like, in terms of like the majority of the time, what happens 80% of the time, if you want a top 12 running back, I think actually the number might be 73% come from top 12 scoring offenses. So you need to find an offense that's going to score points if you're going to search for that breakout running back. That's why Sony Michel was like a guy that I really was willing to bet on last year, and it turned out to be wrong. He looked terrible. That's why Damian Harris is like one of those guys that I don't know why he didn't get a shot this year. I hope that there's not something that we're not seeing behind the scenes that's going on with him, because he is a very talented guy. And if that offense, you know, gets it together, the Patriots have been a top 12 scoring offense for as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Maybe they were just trying to give him a whole year off so his whole body could recover, because these guys come from Alabama and they're so beat up. Mm. And then you get a fresh talent like Damian Harris.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to some dynasty questions, okay? This one's from Derek. He says, I'd be interested to hear your takes on Alvin Kamara's outlook in dynasty PPR. How would you compare him to someone like Saquon or Christian McCaffrey? Is he a tier or two below, or is he still right up there?
Yeah, he's a tier below those guys for sure. Those guys are workhorse running backs that are getting 20-plus touches a week. The thing is I don't see the Saints drafting a running back with any sort of equity. That's a team that's built to win now. And they do have Latavius Murray under contract. I think they signed him to a 3 or a 4 year deal. I can't remember which one it was. But he is aging a little bit, and Latavius Murray is going to slow down a little bit, whereas Kamara is in the prime of his career. And I think what would happen this year is we saw him come back from that ankle injury too soon. And then, like, you know, towards week 15, 16, 17, he looked like the old Kamara that we all know and love. And he's playing for Sean Payton. The question is, it's the same reason I was worried about Michael Thomas in Dynasty. It's like, what happens when Drew Brees retires? Because we did see a little bit Kamara drop off when Brees was not in the lineup this year, whereas Michael Thomas was able to remain stable. So the offense would slow down a bit. It wouldn't score nearly as much. And so it definitely would lower his appeal. But I've heard some people trading away Kamara for like the 105 or 106 pick this year. I wouldn't do that at all. I'd keep Kamara. I'm probably going to stick with Kamara. Like, if Kamara was thrown into your rookie draft this year, I still think I might take him 101. Just depending.
I'd take him 101.
Yeah, it depends on the landing spots, because you could get a DeAndre Swift that lands in a spot that you're just like, oh, this is magical, and he's going to get 20 touches a game and all that.
Where would that be?
That's the thing. I'm just now starting to get into like the depth charts and what contracts are expiring. So there were a few questions that came in, and I'm sorry we didn't get to those.
Oh, like Tennessee. Okay. So maybe they don't re-sign Derrick Henry and they go get Swift. Yeah. Okay. I'd take him 1-1 over.
For sure.
Over
because he's a guy that can catch passes, and he's also someone that's obviously going to get it on the ground. There's a few running backs.
I don't even know if Swift's my favorite running back. I mean, I don't all know those if he top is, three running backs.
Yeah. The landing spot, that's the thing, is so many dynasty players want to tell me that talent, you need to evaluate the talent. And I'm like, that's like legitimately.
Well, if you'd Saquon Barkley, sure.
We evaluate it in order to like suggest what we think teams might want to go after. But in the end, the number one thing is landing spot. Number two is opportunity in that landing spot. And then number three is actual talent evaluation.
Yeah, yep.
So there's just like a lot of things that go into it, including where they were actually drafted. Because if you get a running back that's drafted in the fifth round, there's no priority to get him on the field.
Yep. All right. This one's from DJ De Equinox. He wants to know what he's supposed to do with Cam Newton in Dynasty. This is a good question.
Throw him in the garbage. I don't.
I mean, he's going to start next year. And when he plays, he's going to be a top 12 quarterback.
I disagree with that.
Ooh, all right. So he's going to go from number three fantasy quarterback when he's healthy to top 12.
He had a few QB 17 years mixed in. There was years, and people are going to talk about, oh, it was the injuries, and he was still dealing with this. I don't care what it was, but the reason that he was even able to finish as the QB.
I'm saying when he's on the field, you know you can start Cam every week. You can only say that about five fantasy quarterbacks.
Bobby, if you remember before this season started, I was anti-drafting Cam Newton. Why? Because he's now over 30 years old. His body is breaking down. He was a force to be reckoned with back in the day, but he is not running for 600 yards in the season anymore. That's not happening. So if
he's
going to
be 31 years old, coming off a season-ending foot injury,
never had a good, well, accurate arm to begin with. He has a big arm. He does have receivers at his disposal, but he has had them. Like DJ Moore was there, Curtis Samuel was there, Greg Olsen was there in his prime. So I mean, I'm not saying he's always had the best receivers, but this offense revolves around Christian McCaffrey now.
Sure, I think that's fair. But I mean, last three seasons that he's played, he's averaging 540 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns. Even if that goes down to 404, his passing got so much better last year. He's got some weapons. I think he's going to be a top 12 quarterback when he's on the field. So I'm acquiring Cam Newton right now in Dynasty if I can.
I mean, if I have him in any leagues, I will trade him to you.
Okay. But I'd be happy to have him. Now, granted, Superflex, I'd be much happier to have him than, you know, just a standard QB league. I wouldn't go out and trade for any quarterback unless you can get Lamar Jackson at a discount. Someone thinks regression's coming. Yeah, his touchdown rate's not going to be as high. You know what that means? His rushing touchdown rate is going to be higher. So Lamar Jackson is going to be great moving forward next season. Let's see here, Tags. I got one more Dynasty question, then another one to end the show here. Okay. What is the best roster size for a 10-team Dynasty startup league? Are we looking at like 20 players, 24, 30?
No, in a 10-team?
10-team Dynasty. I'm going 32 players, Tags.
Yeah, I would actually say 35. In a 10-team, that's so incredibly thin. Like, there's going to be a lot of guys still on the waiver wire that can contribute. I play in 14-team leagues with like... it's 36-man roster, and that's a little bit out there. That's like you're scraping for stuff. I think if you do a 12-man, if you do 30-man rosters, it's like, okay, I'd prefer 32. But when you go to 10 teams, I believe you need a minimum of 32. Me personally, 35.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. And some of the people listening are going to be like, 35? Are you kidding me? Yeah, there's nobody available on the waiver wire, but you know what? It's all about building that depth and getting the young guys that you believe in. And it's just so much more fun. It's the closest thing you can get to being a real life NFL GM. And isn't that kind of why we play fantasy football? Is we want to simulate that process?
Yeah, to make us feel like we're in control of our team. And that's the part where I like deeper rosters in Dynasty, just because I feel like you're able to hold on to players that you believed in during the draft process. And maybe they didn't pan out, like, you know, like for you, Kevin White, you believed in him and you thought that he would eventually pan out. Me with like Devontae Parker, people were dropping him in shallower dynasty leagues, and I was like, I was the one buying him. I was going out in there getting him for pennies in the dollar because I was like, I want to
play. I had him in every league, so I just kept him. Yeah, like, there's no way I was getting rid of him.
John Ross was another one I doubled down on last year, where people were selling me John Ross for a third round pick. I'm like, absolutely, because third round picks in dynasty drafts you have like less than a 5% chance of hitting a player that's going to do anything. And I liked John Ross, and he was a first round pick just a couple years ago, now tied to Joe Burrow and, you know, a new offense. So, I mean, that's why I like those, just because you're able to hold on to players that you believed in for more than like two seasons, you know?
All right. This is an important question. This is from Travis Sumter, and he says, when are you guys going to do another listener league mock so we can ruin Bobby Streak? Travis, I want to say this to you right now. It doesn't matter who you bring up against me. I'm going to win. So bring it on, all right? And Kyle Yates is joining the podcast. You guys know Dan Harris. He's been on the podcast for a while. He's going to be on a lot more episodes as well. I'm going to whoop them too. And the reason I'm bringing this up, pull up Twitter right now, okay? If you guys don't already follow Dan Harris, DanHarris80, and then Kyle Yates, he's Kyle Y NFL. Give these guys a follow. And I want all of my loyal supporters. Kyle's on vacation right now. I want you guys to tweet Kyle Yates, Kyle Y NFL, and I want you to tell him he's got no chance at ruining Bobby's streak, and he's going down, and he might as well just stay on vacation because he's going to get whooped when he comes back. Can you guys do that for me?
I hope some guys do it just so Kyle can come on. And I mean, we haven't. I don't know if we've ever done a mock draft show with Kyle, but
we haven't. And Kyle's really smart. He's a lot of fun. He's a really good guy. I'm really happy to have him on the team, but. Him talking trash, not going to fly. I'm going to whoop him. You guys let him know.
Bobby knows the system. He knows how to beat the system.
I built the system. I'm like manipulating it during the draft just to make sure Tags can never beat me.
That is so funny.
All right, man. That's all for today's show. That was a lot of fun, Tags.
It was.
All right. And I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Grammarly. If you guys go to Grammarly.com/fantasypros, it's going to get you 20% off your Grammarly premium account today. That's Grammarly.com/fantasypros for 20% off your Grammarly premium account. And also Thrive Fantasy. You guys are going to want to hashtag prop up for the big game on Sunday by downloading the Thrive Fantasy app on the App or Play Store or visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com, and use that promo code PROS. And when you do, you're going to receive an instant match up to $25 on your first deposit. And also Pristine Auction, don't forget to check them out as well. You're going to love their site and all the options they have for you to bid on some gear to add to your cave. Check out pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. And use that registration code FANTASYPROS, all one word, for $5 off. And lastly, don't forget the contest for the signed Michael Thomas full-size Saints helmet ends this Friday. So make sure to enter by going to bettingpros.com/contest for details, or you can just leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher of the new Betting Pros podcast with Dan Harris and take a screenshot of that and send it to us at contest@bettingpros.com. For Ian Harditz and Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.